responsibility for who you are. Perhaps it's a feeling of indifference toward others. Other people simply become pawns in one's own game of life. Other people soon become things rather than fellow human beings. Perhaps it's a feeling that I'm better than other people, a feeling that is hardly ever verbalized because none of us would hardly ever dare to say that I am better than someone else, but a feeling that is often acted out, a feeling that causes one to look down on others, to see others as unimportant or of less value and of less worth. Why is it hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven? Perhaps it's because of that feeling that says I'm in control of my life and I'm in control of all that impinges on it or affects my life at all. Now, there may be, and as I've observed life these 47 years of my life, I think it's true for most people that there are often long periods of time in the life of any individual when he or she does seem to be virtually in control of all of the things that happen to one's life. But soon or late, that ends. And when the first rejection comes, the first defeat happens, or the first C is made in a course, the first courtship is broken by the other person, then I'm not so much in control anymore. Or perhaps it's a feeling that I'm more than human and I really don't need anyone or anything else, even God. And life can go on like that, and life does go on for many people like that. But inside, for some of us anyhow, we really do know better. One knows that there is more. Dom Helder Câmara, the Archbishop of Recife in Brazil, is one who has taken himself and his powerful, prestigious position and has placed himself, his whole life, and all of his position on the side of the oppressed and the poor. He's a poet, as well as a preacher and archbishop and pastor. And in one of his little poems, he says, "You want to be? You want to be? Excuse me. First, get free of that excess of goods which can cram your whole body, leaving no room for you and even less for God. You want to be? Then first get rid of that excess which crams your whole body, and we all want to be. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Let me tell you, my dear friend," and he tells him, "Go, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." Five verbs, five little verbs that are given to this man and that are given to you and me and in an ascending order that bring us to life. Go, sell, give, come and follow Jesus. The theme and the point are very, very simple. Make some sacrifice now that is for a worthy end. An end which begins now and lasts throughout eternity. The word from Jesus is that the kingdom of God is the highest good that any of us can attain, and it is within our reach. You have the power to possess it, he says. Just throw caution to the wind and come and follow me. But the disciples were amazed at these words of Jesus, absolutely bewildered, surprised. They had heard Jesus issue to this young man the same invitation that he had issued to them. And yet the response of the young man was completely different from the response that they gave. This young man went away sorrowful. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, and they said, "Then Jesus, who in the name of God can be saved? Who will be saved?" The disciples were amazed. They were then, and we are today. We simply do not understand We simply will not allow ourselves to believe the way the kingdom of heaven works. We just cannot fathom how it is that eternal life comes. We find it so very, very hard to believe that life, real life, is the sheer, unutterable gift of God's grace. And so the disciples' question becomes our question. For we really are rich. We really are very much like the rich young man. And so the disciples ask, and we ask Jesus then, who can be saved? Jesus replies, and he gives us in his reply the sum and substance of the doctrine of God's salvation. He says, with you, it is impossible. Because you poor people can't save yourselves. You rich people can't save yourselves. You people in between can't save yourselves. With you, it is utterly impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Even the salvation of your soul. So that's the point, my friends. That's the story, and that's the message. Wholeness of life, fullness of life, a spiritual significance which Saint Exupéry says he wants to descend upon us like a Gregorian chant, a spiritual significance really can be restored to us. That is God's doing. And with God's doing, all things are possible. Even the rich can have eternal life. Even the well-to-do can feel okay. Even the poor can be filled. Even the hungry can be fed. The proud can be humbled, and the mighty can be toppled. As Mary sang in the Magnificat, His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He showed strength with his arms. He hath scattered the proud. He hath put down the mighty and exalted the low. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. And the kingdom of God surely comes in that day. And my only question this morning is, how long, O Lord? How long? How long before that kingdom comes? Amen.
Let us affirm what we believe. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in the truly human Jesus to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust God, who calls us to be the church, to celebrate life and its fullness, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Let us pray for the light of our eyes, for the very air we breathe, for the voice we speak with, for the sun and rain in their seasons, for plants and all creatures that they may grow and prosper. Let us pray for all things we take for granted, for everything that does come to us all the time from God, our Creator and our Maker. Let us pray and never cease to ask for everything we long for everything we think we need. Let us pray that God will give it to us, for food and drink every day, for clothes to wear, for good health, for a safe journey throughout life, and for every person a home. And we also pray, O God, for what we need most of all, the sympathy and affection of our fellow pilgrims, for the faithfulness of friends, for the faithfulness of God, for the generosity of those we have offended, for the love of those we love. Let us pray for a safe future for our children, for happy days and for our old people, for pleasure in our work, for patience in adversity, for peace on this earth. For all those who lack the most vital, basic necessities, we would also like to pray. For health for those who are ill, for new opportunities for those who have failed, for confidence and energy for those who are disappointed. Let us pray that those who are lost may meet with friendship, and those who are ill-used and in poverty may meet with justice. And let us pray that we too may do what is right and choose truth rather than falsehood, that we do not fail our brothers and sisters to further our own advantage, that we do not call evil what is good, that we do not speak ill of each other and scoff at our neighbor. To you, O God, who knows what we need even before we ask, we pray. O Lord our God, accept these our prayers and make us receptive to everything you can give us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, who for our sakes became poor, that by your poverty we might become rich, grant to your people so to give of our substance that we might acknowledge we belong wholly to you. In your name we pray. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, be among you and remain with you always.